It's good to be here with you again in a leaving, and we trust that God will bless what we have to say from his word this evening. We're going to turn, please, to the Gospel according to Mark and chapter 5. Mark's Gospel and chapter 5. If you have a Bible, if not, don't worry. We're going to read a very interesting little incident in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press or in the crowd behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole, I shall be cured." And straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." And so, we want to spend a little time this evening considering this woman's life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day it was when this woman met the Saviour. Everything changed for her, and a wonderful transformation took place in her life. And well, there's some very important lessons for us to learn from this little incident. We want to think tonight about three things. We're going to think about her helplessness. And we'll think of a woman who has spent many years searching for an answer, for a cure to this problem that she had, but to no avail, without success. And it seems that she's reached a situation of absolute helplessness. But then secondly, we'll think about her hope. Because there was wonderful hope on the horizon for this woman in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we'll think about her healing. And we'll see as she comes in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, she is healed, she is cured. And her life is wonderfully transformed. And we just want to see in this woman a picture of ourselves as sinners, in our helplessness, and with the only hope that we have being found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a very simple message tonight, but there are some very important lessons for us to learn. Let's think first of all about her helplessness. You know, this woman that we have read about, she had a terrible problem. A serious illness that had made her life an absolute misery for many years. And really all that she had to look forward to for the rest of her life was more misery, and more misery, and more misery. Because this illness was only going to get worse. It wasn't just going to get better, it was only going to get worse. And so it seems that she is in an awful predicament. She's in an awful situation. You know, I was trying to imagine how this woman's story had unfolded. I don't know if you ever do that when you come to the Bible and characters just appear and you only read a little bit about them. I don't know if you ever just try and fill in some of the blanks yourself. Well, I was trying to imagine how this woman's story had unfolded, how she got to this situation. Well, I suppose there must have been a day when she first discovered that something wasn't right. And what a terrible day that must have been for her, when she realised for the first time something wasn't right. And well, the Bible tells us that every one of us need to have that day of discovery when we come to realise that there's something about our lives that just isn't right as far as God is concerned. And I wonder whether you've come to that day in your life, that day of discovery, where you've come to realise for the first time something is not right in my life as far as God is concerned. You know, Sometimes when I try to speak to people about the gospel and about Christianity, whether it's on their doorstep or in the street or whatever it might be, and you try to interest them in the thing, this is a common answer. They sometimes say, "No thanks, I'm not interested, I'm all right, I'm all right." And that's a common answer, a common thing that people say, "I'm all right." And they don't see any need of Christ. And they don't see any need of the gospel. But you know, the truth is, we're not all right. The truth is that we are far from all right. In fact, the truth is we're actually all wrong as far as God is concerned. And we need to come to realize that our lives are affected by a serious spiritual disease, which the Bible calls sin. And as a result of that spiritual disease, there's much about our lives that is hurtful and offensive to the God of heaven. You know, if we're honest with ourselves tonight, and I hope that you're all willing to be honest with yourselves tonight, as we look back over the years, there's a lot of things that we've done, and a lot of things that we've said, and probably a lot of thoughts that we've had, that if our closest friends and family members knew, they would be absolutely appalled, and we would be absolutely ashamed. Is that not true? Things in our lives that we're not proud of, things in our lives that we're ashamed of, that we feel guilty about, and because of that we try to hide them away and we hope that nobody finds out. And if other people knew about them, they would be appalled and we would be deeply ashamed. And you know, the truth is, if our family and friends would be so appalled and so offended by these things, how much more offended and how much more hurt must God be at these things? You see, the Bible presents to us a God who is infinitely holy, a God who absolutely cannot stand sin. And the thing is that this God knows everything about you and everything about me, absolutely everything. You know, I suppose there's probably parts of your life and parts of my life that are hidden to others. And they're hidden to others because we hide them from others. As we've said already, things about ourselves that we don't want other people to know about. Things we've done in the past. And we wish we could go back in time and not do them, or not say them, or not think about them. And we wish we could do things differently. We just hope that people don't know about them. Things that are hidden in our lives, and yet everything in our life is open to God. Everything in our life is known by God. And we're dealing with a God who knows every single part of our lives. Not a single bit of our lives hidden to God. He knows everything about us, the good, the bad, and the ugly, as we sometimes say. And God is holy, and he cannot stand the sight of our sin. And you know, that's a serious thing when you think about it, isn't it? You know, there's some people who I speak to, and again, they would acknowledge that they're not perfect. They would acknowledge that they've made mistakes, and they've done things they shouldn't have done. But they think that their sin isn't a big deal. They think that it's not important. They think that it doesn't matter. And they think that if they just ignore it and hope for the best, it'll all work out all right in the end with God. And God will just overlook their sin. And God will just ignore their sin and forget about their sin. And God will just let them into heaven anyway. You know, friends, I need to tell you tonight that your sin is a big deal to God. Your sin is a big deal to God. Your sin really matters to God. Your sin is such a big deal to God that he sent his only son to die upon a cross. That's how big a deal sin is to God. That's how serious sin is to God. It meant that he had to send his only son to die on a cross. That tells me it's pretty serious. It's pretty bad. And you know, if your sin is a big deal to God, it should be a big deal to you as well. It should be a big deal to you. And it should be a big deal to me, because the Bible explains to us that the consequences of sin, our sin cuts us off from our Creator, here and now. Now, the Bible says your sins have separated you from your God, and that's a serious thing in itself, because it means we cannot enjoy life in the way that God intended us to enjoy this life, while we are cut off from our Creator. And that's why there are so many people whose lives are empty and dissatisfied. And they're just looking for something to fill that void, that gap, that emptiness in life. And whatever they try, it just doesn't work. And the reason is they are separated from God because of their sins. And life will always be empty while we're separated from our Creator. But you know, the Bible tells us that our sin is even more serious than that, because it will ultimately keep you out of heaven. You know, the Bible says heaven is a holy place. God allows people in there with their sin, it's going to ruin the place. And so our sin will keep us out of heaven. And more than that, the Bible says our sin will take us down to hell, a place of punishment. And not just for a few days, or even a few weeks, or months, or years, but forever, and forever, and forever. You see, your sin is a big deal to God. And when we come to realize how big a deal it is to God, it becomes a big deal to us. And I wonder tonight if everyone here has come to realize just how serious the issue of sin really is. You know, this woman that we've read about tonight, she had had this problem for 12 years. That was a long time to be carrying this problem. It was a big deal to her. It was the biggest thing in her life, I suppose. It was at the forefront of her mind. Every day she was thinking about this. And well, I wonder if perhaps at first she just ignored it. And she just hoped that it would go away. You know, when she discovered it that first day, she thought, well, something's not right here. But we'll just wait and see what happens. We'll just leave it and hopefully things will just resolve themselves and things will just get better. And well, I suppose that's sometimes how we deal with problems in our lives, isn't it? You know, we discover the problem, but we think to ourselves, well, if we just ignore it and we just forget about it, maybe eventually it'll just work out all right. You know, I had a problem in my flat just a few weeks ago, and it turned into a bit of a fiasco, to be honest. I had a blocked kitchen sink, and if any of you have had a blocked sink before, then it can turn into quite serious stuff. Well, it ended up being quite a situation, quite a frustration, quite a costly thing as well. And so I thought to myself, I'm at least going to get a sermon illustration out of this problem. So you've heard the parable of the prodigal son, you've heard the parable of the good Samaritan. Well, tonight I want to tell you the modern day parable of the blocked sink. And there's an important lesson that I want to teach you from this modern day parable. So a few weeks ago now, I discovered the problem. And the water was taking longer and longer to drain away in the sink. But perhaps like this woman in the passage, I thought to myself, well, if I just leave it, it's not a big deal. And if I just leave it, maybe it'll sort itself out. And so I left it. And, you know, it's a typical male response to a problem, isn't it? If we just leave it, it'll sort itself out. And that's what I thought I would do. Well, I left it, and of course, rather than getting better, it actually just got worse and worse and worse until no water was draining away in the sink at all. And so it became quite clear eventually that I needed to do something about this issue. And so first of all, I decided to go to Tesco and I got myself some Mr. Muscle. And I put that down the drain, and well, that didn't work. So back to Tesco and I got some other concoction, I think it was called Buster. And that went down the sink, and well, that didn't work. And so then I thought to myself, well, this is no good. Maybe I could try and fix it myself. So I went onto YouTube, which is what I always do when I don't know how to do something. And I watched a few videos on how to unblock a sink. And, well, I don't know how long it takes to train as a plumber, probably a few years. But with a few minutes of training on the internet, I thought I could probably tackle this. So I got myself underneath the sink and I started unscrewing all of the pipework and started to clean it out. Now, that was an interesting night, if if you've never done that, that's a fun way to spend your Sunday evening when you go home, unscrewing the bits underneath your sink and finding lots of interesting stuff there. But well, I cleaned it all out, put it all back together again, and guess what? It wasn't any better. It was still blocked. In fact, it actually was worse, because in the process of doing all this, one of the little rubber washers between the pipes had snapped, and so I now had a blocked sink and a leaking pipe. So it just got worse. And so the lesson really is, you know, you try to fix something yourself and you just make the thing worse. And so eventually I reached the point when I realised that there was nothing more I could do. There was nothing else I could try. I had exhausted all of the options and there was nothing else for it. I had to call the expert. I had to get the plumber in. And the lesson is, it's better to just call the expert straight away. Save yourself the hassle, save yourself the grief, save yourself all the attempts at fixing it yourself, and just call on the expert. And you know, friends, that is exactly how it is when it comes to our sin. That is the situation, that is the point that this woman has got to as well in her situation. For 12 years, it tells us, she had tried this and that and the next thing. She had tried all sorts of things. She had visited every doctor she could find. She had spent every penny that she had trying to find a cure for this illness. And yet she just got worse and worse and worse. And just as this woman was totally helpless as far as her physical condition was concerned, the Bible tells us you and I are totally helpless as far as our spiritual condition as sinners is concerned. We can't fix this problem ourselves. And that's the point that we need to get to. We need to get to the point of understanding how serious our sin is, and understanding that we cannot fix it by ourselves. We need to call the expert. And the Bible tells us that the only one who's able to deal with sin in a person's life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that we need to call upon if we want to be saved from our sins. And so we've got our helplessness. But the wonderful thing about this incident is that there was hope for this helpless woman. There was hope. And of course, the wonderful message of the gospel tells me that whoever you are, and whatever you've done, and however awful your sin might be, and however big a mess your life might be in, there is hope for you today. That's why I love the gospel so much. Because it means that I can go to any person in this world. I think there are 7 billion people in the world today. And I could go to any one of them, whoever they are, whatever they've done, whatever mess their life is in, and I can tell them there's hope for them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was hope for this woman in the person of the Lord Jesus. You see, the turning point in this story is in verse 27. I don't know if you noticed that. You know, up until that point, everything is doom and gloom. It's a very dark and dismal story. She's been ill for a long time. She's tried everything. Nothing's working. Everything's getting worse. She spent all the money she had. It's a real doom and gloom story until you get to verse 27. Because verse 27 says this: when she had heard of Jesus. When she had heard of Jesus. You see, that was the turning point. Everything changed when she heard of Jesus. And there was now wonderful hope on the horizon as she came to realize that there was someone who could deal with her difficulty. She had heard about Jesus. You know, perhaps she had heard that he was the Son of God. Perhaps she had heard that he was the Savior of the world. Perhaps she had heard that he was able to transform her life. And you know, the things that she had heard about him, she believed. Because she realized if she could get to him, he could change her life. He could fix her problem. And she realized he was the one that she had to get to. And you know, very simply today, we want you to hear about Jesus. That's our very purpose in being here tonight, that people might hear about Jesus. That's why this meeting is held every single week at 6:30. Not because, you know, there's nothing else to do. And we've got nothing else that we could be spending our time doing. And you know, we're not here really to give you some kind of motivational advice on how to improve your life yourself. And we're not here to say some nice things to you to make you feel better about yourself for a little while. No, we're here to tell you about the Lord Jesus. We're here to tell you about the one who can really make a difference in your life. And let me tell you tonight, he can. He can make a difference in your life. And, you know, there's many people in this hall and they can say, he's made a difference in my life. And I can say tonight, he has made a difference in my life. I wonder tonight if you can say he's made a difference in yours. You see, he's the one who brings hope to the helpless. He's the one who brings salvation to sinners. He's the one who can transform your life and save your soul tonight. And you say, why is it that he's the only one who can do it? Well, it's because he is the one who, in the very beginning, he brought the universe into being. The Bible says that all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He is the great creator of heaven and earth. And having created it all, the Bible says he left heaven's throne and he came down to Bethlehem's manger to be the savior of the world. He came to rescue us from our sins. And he's the one who for 33 years never put a foot wrong, never said a word out of turn, never did anything that he regretted, but lived a life of absolute sinless perfection here on earth. He lived a life that you and I could never ever live, a life that is out with our grasp, a perfect life. He's the one who fed the hungry, healed the sick, stilled the storm, and raised the dead. He's the one who performed these wonderful, mighty miracles to prove that he was who he said he was, the Son of God. And of course, he's the one who eventually would go to the cross and die for our sins. He's the one who would experience the shame and the spitting and the scourging and all these awful things that men did to him. He's the one who would receive the crown of thorns and the cruel nails as he was crucified at the place called Calvary. He's the one who would enter into 3 long, lonely hours of darkness, during which God would punish him for all of our sins. He's the one who would suffer the judgment that we were due for all of the wicked, evil, filthy sins of our lives. He's the one who was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And of course, he's the one who, having died for our sins upon that cross, rose from the grave on the 3rd day and appeared to over 500 people to prove without any shadow of a doubt that he was alive again. And friends, he is the only one who could deal with this woman's problem. And tonight we want to tell you, he is the only one who can deal with your sin today. And we present him to you tonight as the only saviour for sinners. We present him tonight as your only hope of being in heaven. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no hope. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no heaven for any one of us. And we present him to you this evening as the one that you need to put your trust in for salvation. You know, the Lord Jesus is the person that you need today more than anyone or anything else in life. I don't know what it is that you think you need in life, most of all. Maybe there are a whole host of things that you think you need in life. But I want to tell you tonight, above and beyond all of those needs, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need him as your Savior if you want to be in heaven one day. You see, he specializes in saving sinners. And whether it's big sinners or little sinners, whether it's young sinners or old sinners, and whether it's rich sinners or poor sinners, it really matters not. He specializes in saving all kinds of sinners. And whoever you are, and whatever kind of life you have lived, he can save you today. He can forgive your sins. He can transform your life. And he's able to do it because of what he did when he died upon the cross. You know, if you're needing a plumber or an electrician or a joiner or any kind of tradesman, you'll find a whole host of them to choose from, won't you? You know, you log on to the internet and you do a search on Google, and it will bring you up pages and pages of people who can do the job for you. If you're old-fashioned, you can look it up in the Yellow Pages. I think the Yellow Pages is still on the go, I'm not too sure. But you'll get pages and pages of these people. And really, you can take your pick. And any one of them will do the job for you. But you know, friends, if you're searching for a saviour to deal with your sins, there's only one name that you'll find. And it's the name of Jesus. The Bible says there is no other name under heaven given amongst men through which we must be saved. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, he is available to answer your call of salvation today. You know, the wonderful thing about this incident was that although he was urgently making his way to deal with another critical situation, the Lord Jesus Christ still had time for this poor woman. He still had time for her. And friend, he's got time for you today. You know, maybe there's folks in the audience tonight, I don't really know everybody here, but maybe you feel no one's got time for you. Maybe you feel that no one really cares about you. No one's really all that interested in you. Nobody really loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ had time for this woman, and he's got time for you tonight. He's interested in you. He cares about you. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants to save you. And he's only a call away. The Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder if you've ever come to that point in your life when you have called upon the name of the Lord and asked him to save you from your sins. You see, we've got to come to that point of realizing we cannot save ourselves. And we've got to call on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who specializes in saving sinners. And so we've got our helplessness, but we've got our hope as she hears about Jesus. But then finally we've got her healing. You know, her illness was cured and her life was transformed when she met the Saviour. You know, the Lord Jesus says in the passage that it was her faith that made her whole. It was her faith that led to her being cured. And of course she displayed her faith by abandoning all other hope and simply coming to Christ for help. That's how she displayed her faith. She came to Christ and sought his help. And the Bible explains to us that today it's through personal faith in Christ that we can be saved from our sins. And we express that faith when we admit that we are helpless sinners and we simply ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. You see, hearing about Jesus wasn't enough to save this woman. It wasn't enough for this woman to be cured. She had to come to him personally. And well, tonight, every one of you have heard about Jesus. You've heard about him tonight. You've perhaps heard about him on past weeks as you've come along to the hall here. And maybe you've heard about him hundreds of times. But that's not enough to save you, just hearing about him. Hearing about him gives you hope. But you've got to come to him in faith. And you've got to ask him to save you from your sins. That's the all-important point we've got to get to. I wonder if you've come to that point. You might have come to the gospel hall here many, many times. But have you ever come to Christ and asked him to save you from your sins? You know, in one sense, it was quite easy for this woman to get to Jesus. He was very near to her. He was in her town. He was walking along the road just maybe a few yards from where she was. In a sense, it was very easy for her to get to Christ. In another sense, it was actually quite difficult for her to get to Christ because the crowd were in the way. You know, the hymn writer has said for us today, it's only a step to Jesus. Just a single step of simple faith. And yet, there's often so many things that can get in the way. And there's often so many things that can hold us back from coming to Christ and being saved. And well, I wonder, maybe there's someone here tonight and maybe you've been thinking about getting saved. Maybe you know that you need to be saved. Maybe you know how to be saved. Maybe you even want to be saved. but there's something holding you back. I wonder what it is that's holding you back from being saved. You know, despite the difficulties, there was nothing that would have stopped this woman from getting to Jesus that day. You know, I think she would have run through a brick wall to get to the Lord Jesus that day. She really wanted to be cured. And you might say, well, why? Well, number one, she realized how serious her condition was. And number two, she realized that this might be her last opportunity to get to Jesus and be cured. He might never be passing that way again. And with these things in mind, she made it her priority to get to Christ that day. And you know, friend, if there is something that is keeping you back from coming to Christ and being saved, I want you to think about those two things. Firstly, how serious your sin is, and the awfulness of what awaits you if you die without having it dealt with. It doesn't even bear thinking about. And secondly, that this might be your last opportunity to come to Christ and be saved. You know, the Bible says, boast not yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day will bring forth. The Bible says that now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. And with these things in mind, make it a priority, an urgent priority, to come to Christ and be saved today. Notice that the healing took place straight away. Straight away. In a moment of time, her illness was cured and her life was transformed. And you know, friend, it's possible today that in a moment of time, your sins could be completely forgiven. In a moment of time, your life could be radically transformed. In a moment of time, your destiny for eternity could be dramatically altered. Just in a moment of time, if you're willing to come in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender control of your life to Him. What a wonderful transformation there was in this woman's life the day she met the Saviour. You know, this was by far the best day of her life. By far. And people must have looked at her and thought, she's like a new person after she had met the Saviour. What a change. What a transformation. The best day in our life. You know, that's how it should be for each one of us. When we come in faith to Christ and He takes away our sin, the Bible says we become new creatures. Everything changes. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. He empowers us to live that new life. And a radical revolution takes place. Everything changes. A great transformation. And when a person has that all-important with Christ, an all-important encounter with Christ, it is inevitably the best day of their life. Inevitably. You know, I can look back over 33 years now, almost 34. 12,375 days exactly I have been alive. Check that out on the internet earlier on, just to make sure. 12,375 days I've been alive. And I can look back on some great days for various reasons. But you know, there is one day that stands out clearly as the best and most important day of my life. And it was the day that I got saved. It was the day that I came as a sinner to Christ. It was the 10th of May, 1992. Just a little boy, 9 years old, realized I was a sinner, realized only Christ could save me, and very simply asked Him to take away my sins. The best day of my life. Friend, this could be the best day of your life. It could. Maybe it's not been a very good day so far. Maybe it got worse listening to me. But this could be the best day of your life if you come as a sinner to Jesus. Today you've heard of Jesus. And today you could be saved if you're willing to put your trust in Him. May God bless His word tonight. And may God help you as you think about these things. Let's pray. Our Father, we do give thanks once again for our time together, for opportunity just to think about the wonder of the gospel once more and the life-changing impact that the Lord Jesus Christ can have upon a person. We think of this woman whose life was so radically transformed when she met the Saviour. We give thanks that He was able to deal with her problem. And Father, we give thanks that He's the only one who's able to deal with the problem of our sin tonight. We give thanks that He was willing to go to the cross and die for our sins. We give thanks that he rose again the third day. We give thanks that he is a living Saviour and he is able and he is willing to save us if we're willing to come to him in faith. We pray for everyone here tonight. If anyone is not saved, we pray that before they go home or before they go to bed tonight, they would get the matter dealt with and they would come in faith to Christ. And so we pray a blessing upon us now as we part, for we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.